You see, when the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply, he told us how. You read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he makes it clear. After he said and blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, he said, see, look at the fruit. There's seeds in the fruit. Sow the seed, you get the harvest. The whole kingdom of God, Jesus said, operates this way. Seed, plant, harvest. The word of God is seeded into our heart. Without the human heart, this word, the power in this word, cannot be released in this earth. So God has called you and I, body of Christ, to be a distributor, a steward of the power of God in this earth. The more and more that I run with the Lord, the more and more I go, Lord, wow. What you have done with us. What you have done for us. They say, Lord, Father, let's get a whole bunch of people in this. Let's get a whole bunch of your children in this. God's vision for our life is so much higher than what we can even imagine or ask. So if I took an orange or an apple right now and I cut it in half, what do I find inside? A seed. And you know, it's interesting, just by our own wisdom that God placed in us, without us thinking about it, we don't eat the seed. We don't eat the seed in those oranges, do we? How many have had a cherry? There's a seed in the middle. How many have eaten that seed in the middle? No. And God says, don't eat the seed. Plant it. Plant it. Amen. So the whole kingdom of God operates that way. Amen. And that's how the multiplication occurs. God doesn't want us to live in the world of addition. He wants us to live in the world of multiplication. And glory to God, I have to say, anytime that we planted a corn seed or a tomato seed or any seed at all, it produced a whole lot more than one tomato. Just even in the natural realm that we see and look. We can see God said to the whole earth, be fruitful and multiply. My goodness, that oak tree started with a seed. And man, I've seen bulldozers that couldn't take an oak tree down. God wants oak trees, us. Oak tree, you can't be taken down by anything. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. It says, I want to add to what George had shared with you. Because yes, God gave. He gave Jesus. And one of the biggest reasons that he gave Jesus is found in verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. When are you blessed? Now, when are you blessed? now. So where do we get this idea in the church and through tradition that there are things that we have to do to get blessed? How many times have you heard? How many times have you been taught? How many times has it been told to you, do you want to be blessed by God? Then do this. And do that. If you want to be blessed by God, you need to go do this or that or this ministry or that ministry and on and on and on with the idea that something we have to do to get God to come out of heaven and bless us.
Right.
My scripture, my word doesn't say that. What does it say? I just read it to you. And I, for one, will take the written word of God over the word of any man anytime. I don't care who he is. I don't care what they claim to be. If what you're telling me and if what you're sharing with me doesn't line up with my written word, then at the very least you're on the back burner until I prove it. Years ago, the Lord gave me a verse of scripture in Acts. I was like a month saved. Received Jesus in 1979 early. 79. In the Acts, the Bereans were more noble than all the rest of the other Christians. Why? Because they checked the scriptures to see if what they were being told is so. Hallelujah. God put it in writing for a reason. Amen? Jesus is the Word. This is Jesus.
Amen.
This is Jesus. This is not a book. It isn't just the Word of God. This is Jesus. Every time that you're in here, you're fellowshipping by the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus. Every answer for every problem you may face is in here. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, sanctification. Who said you have to make yourself better? Man says it. You know what God says? Jesus will do it. I like to watch golf. I attempt once in a while to actually hit the ball myself. Sometimes by the grace of God I do. But one of the things I've noticed with the golfers whenever they interview them is there's such a demand on a professional golfer, not only for their skill in a golf tournament or winning a golf tournament, there's this demand placed on them about how they live off the golf course. And one of the things when they're interviewing them say, they say, I'm trying to be a better person on and off the golf course. I've heard that 50 times, 50 different. And how many of you believe that's a good thing? That's not a bad thing they said. However, we've got a lot of Christians who live in that same place. I'm trying to be a better Christian on Sunday morning on the golf course because we're at our best. And the rest of the week off the golf course. And I'm trying to be. And God says, quit trying to be. I'll do it. How many of you know that if in your own effort and your own desire and your own ability, you could be better on and off, you don't need Jesus? What? Well, if you could get rid of your own sin, why would you need Jesus? So here's what happens. We're forgiven our sin when we come to the Lord. Like Courtney, all your sins are forgiven you. All past mistakes. You're brand new. Clean. God says, you're clean. I've made you clean. Amen? Now we come and bless the brothers and sisters. I do love them. But we get around them. And sometimes they're not really aware that we're already blessed. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing now. But we start hearing, you know, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, if you're really saved, I love that one, where everybody runs around judging who's saved and isn't. That to me is the joke of the century. There's two people know. There's two people who know if you're saved. God and you. That's it. Amen? You tell me I'm saved, I believe you. Yeah, but I don't like your haircut. Your haircut's got nothing to do with it. I don't know, you cut my hair. But he's still saved, even if he gave me a bad haircut. His salvation is not based on how good the haircut is. Amen? Based on Jesus and what he did for us. Faith in Jesus. I fasted and prayed 3 days because I wanted to get a word from the Lord. I said, Lord, I want a word from you. I want to hear from you. So I fasted 3 days. Almost at the end of the third day, the Lord spoke to me and he said, because I was praying for a word. Let me just rephrase that so you understand. I was praying for 3 days. It had turned into 3 days. Fasting and praying so I could find out from God what to do. After all, we got to find out what to do, don't we? You just can't sit there. Why not? Let me just give all of you this. It's better to be Mary than Martha. Are you looking at me real funny now? Martha did what? She worked. She was in the kitchen. She was getting ready. She was serving Jesus. Amen? She's trying to be hospitable. What was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. And Martha, not only was she so that, because you run into a lot of Marthas in your life. She'd come over and give Jesus what for? Can't you see how I'm working? I don't think she went, Jesus, can you see how? Listen, I have a Middle Eastern family. They don't talk that way. Okay? They make themselves heard. Priscilla, sometimes when I'm talking like how I was brought up, she thinks I'm yelling. And I've had to come to understand that I'm not yelling. I mean, I've sat there and I've listened to my relatives. That's the conversation tone as they're sitting around chatting. So when she comes over, she ain't going, Jesus, could you take notice? She come over there and gave him what for? Can't you see I'm working in there to get everything ready? Jesus? And what did Jesus do? As he always does, he goes right to the right thing to say. He goes right to the core of the situation. He's good like that. And he says, Martha, Martha, calm down. You're worried about many things. Now, he didn't say she was doing wrong. He was simply saying to her, here's the priority in your life. One thing is needful. What is it? Hear Jesus. Hear what he says. And what's wonderful about Jesus going to the cross in his death, burial, resurrection is each and every one of us have the opportunity on an individual, personal level to have a relationship with Jesus where we can hear what he says. Amen? Amen. And God has removed every single obstacle, forgiven every sin, taken everything out of the way, and reconciled to himself to us. He was never our enemy. We were the enemy to him. And he changed that, and he made us friends with him. God was never enemy to man. Why? Because it always was his desire that man walk in his blessing. God's a giver. He's only happy when he's giving. He's only happy when we're receiving. Amen? So I'm fasting for what to do. And it was almost 3 days, and the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said, believe on me, who the Father has sent. I said, that's it? Now, I want to tell you something. 3 days of fasting, it is written in the book, in John. What must we do to work the works of God? The disciples asked Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Believe on me who he sent. That's what he told me after 3 days of fasting. I said, man, I could have had some meals. What must you do to work the works of God in your life? Believe. Believe. Believe is the verb for faith. Faith is the noun. Believe is the verb. Love is the noun. Compassion is the verb. Amen? And compassion always wants to remove the root of the problem. It wants to remove from you what's causing your problem and your pain. That's what compassion does. It doesn't go, oh, you poor thing. I'm not going to go to visit somebody who's dying from a terminal disease and say, you poor thing, I hope you go without too much pain and anguish. I'm going to go and say, let's find out the root of the problem, get you up. That's mercy. That's compassion. That's the love of God. You shall speak to the root of the problem, and you shall command it to be plucked up and cast into the sea. Not, Father, come do something. Begging God to do something, and God saying, you do it. You do it. You do it. Why? Why can I do that? Because I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. When? the day that I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I became born again, a new creation, that's the day I was blessed. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have received from the Lord and spent years learning what you received? We all have. We all have. Because I assure you, the day after that I received Jesus, I knew I was changed. I knew the old things had passed away. I couldn't put it in those words, but I knew. What I desired to do before, I didn't want to do. I was a professional gambler. That's how I made my living. I owned racing greyhound kennels all over the place. Did that more of a hobby. And I spent hours and hours each day studying and going through that. The day after, not 24 hours after, I didn't want to do that anymore. Didn't want to. Nobody came to me and said, you can't do that anymore. Thank God they didn't. And I was spending hours in the Word of God instead, because that's what I wanted to do. And no one came and said to me, you have to do that. God says, I don't want you to live a life of you have to. He said, I want you to live a life of I want to. If in your heart you believe I have to give, then stop. Take a couple weeks off, if that's what you need to do. You may not necessarily need to do that. You can have this change in a minute. Lord, put the want to in me. Put the want to in me. I want to give. And that comes from the inside out. God's plan was never to change us from the outside in. And yet, when you get around, they're talking about doing something on the outside to get a change on the inside. Does not work that way. The seed of the Word is planted in here. It grows and changes you. But there's a thief, that rotten thief, that enemy who does what? He comes to steal. Steal that word that was sown. Cause that word not to bear fruit in you. These are those that hear the word. That when they hear this word, the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. Why would you be surprised? Then he comes in behind that and said, you know, you're having all this trouble because you must have sinned somewhere. See, he's not going to alert anybody that a sinner, he doesn't alert a sinner they're a sinner. He doesn't do that. He follows the word. He's after the word. He does not want that word to grow and bear fruit, because the moment that starts to happen, his works get destroyed. Now, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, who went around doing good and destroying the works of the enemy and setting people free and healing people who were oppressed by the devil. We do the same thing. Amen? See, once I understand and receive and know that I am blessed, okay? Once I know that, once I receive that, once that has grown to the point where you can't convince me otherwise, I don't care what it looks like. You're blessed. Understand? We live by faith and not by sight. Once I know that, I want to be a blessing. Not I have to. If you try to be the blessing before you know you're blessed, you're going to get in the world of have to. That's an ugly place. Because the moment you fall short of your have to, the enemy comes right in behind that and says, what a wretch you are. You don't measure up to none. I got news for you, Mr. Devil. I have already measured up to the righteousness of God because I have His. Now go deal with that and get out of here. Jesus never taught anything that He didn't go through. George said that a little earlier. He never taught anything He didn't live. So when He went to the River Jordan and He heard the words from the Father, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and He went out into the wilderness, what did He say? What did He teach? He said, devil comes immediately to steal the word. What was the first thing the enemy said to Him? If you're the Son of God. What did God just say? You are my beloved Son. What was He after? The word. Jesus went the same route we go. Oh, He was the Son of God. Yes, He was. But He emptied Himself as His deity. He came as a man, flesh like we are. He dealt with the same thing. God can't be tempted. Jesus was. Jesus could have sinned if He wanted to. The more I learn about Jesus, I said, boy, Jesus, You are Lord. Glory to God. You're blessed. Now, let me have you go to Luke chapter 5. How many of you know you're blessed?
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. This is something I would like for you to take with you, because it will do you well. We're in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was as the multitudes pressed about Him to hear the word of God that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Two things. One, they were washing their nets. Two, Jesus got in the boat. And who were washing the nets? We know it was Simon, or later called Peter, James and John, because they were all partners in the fishing business. So, He went out and He did what? Jesus taught the multitudes. So we know there was a multitude around them. And verse 4, and when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I'd love to hear that. But Simon answered and said to Him, always watch out for whatever you say after the word but. Okay? Take heed to what's coming out of your mouth after but. It's usually not good. It's usually contrary to what you just heard. But Simon answered and said to Him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, now look at that right there. The first thing He does is what after that but? He's basically speaking His doubt. We've done everything we can. We've tried everything we could. We caught nothing. Who are you? What do you know about it? I can't tell you the number of times in my life I've gone to the Lord finally. Has anybody ever been there where you finally go? What does that mean? You've racked your brain, you've done everything you can, and you've concluded this is impossible. And I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm here, and here's what He says to me. Are you done? Yes, Lord, I'm done. Finally. I'm not the only one. Hallelujah. Here's the key. At your word, I will let down the net, singular. He's gonna let down that broken down net that they didn't even wasn't good enough to be washed. Net. Now, the key is this. Whenever you and I proceed to do something, is it at Jesus' word? Or did we hear something and do something and believe we're doing what Jesus said? Peter's saying, I'm doing what you told me to do. Number one, take the time with the Lord to be sure you've heard what he said and all of it. I've done that. I've got a word from the Lord when I actually needed like two or three more words. And then go and do a Peter. I'm doing what you told me to do. At your word, and find out, whoa, I didn't quite get a hold of this. Why is this important? And I'll show you why this is so important. Right here. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Question. Did the blessing come? Came. Did Peter do anything to earn this?
No.
No, as a matter of fact, he was being contrary. The blessing still came. Did he earn that blessing? No. So what was Jesus doing there? When he told them that, he wanted Peter to be in a position to receive the blessing. That's why he gave them the instruction. He didn't say, do what I tell you, or else the blessing isn't coming. And a lot of times, okay, every spiritual blessing, what does that mean? In the realm of the Spirit, we have every spiritual blessing. It's a matter of it coming from there to here. Well, what is the tunnel or the pathway? Faith. Faith reaches in there what has already been done and brings it here and changes the circumstances not lined up with the Word of God here. We are Christians. We're not Christian scientists. We don't deny the circumstance. We take our faith and change it. Amen? You're sick, you're sick. You don't go around saying, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. You say, okay, I've got some symptoms here, but bless God, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. By Jesus' stripes I was healed, and now I receive it. Now God may turn around, Jesus, and give you an instruction. Because he's wanting to position you in a place where now that blessing is received. Not going out and earning it. They didn't do anything to earn this. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, it was foul-mouthed to Jesus. We toiled all night. Da, 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 da. In other words, we've done everything we can and caught nothing. To me, you'd run to Jesus. See, all the enemy has to do is twist just a little. All it is a twist. If he can twist that truth just a little, he can spoil the whole truth. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole loaf. And God, by the power of the Spirit, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, has given us the grace to untwist it. Amen? So the blessing was coming. And Peter, at Jesus' word, did not position himself to receive the whole thing. Matter of fact, the net broke. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net broke. Now there's good news, and this is what the body of Christ is about. And this is the reason why you and I need to look at those brothers and sisters who are out there on their own, and they're all over the place. Look at the next verse. So they signal their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink individually, alone. We'll have problems that cannot be resolved. Together, everyone gets resolved. Every problem gets taken care of. Wisdom, the totality of Jesus' wisdom is in his body. Amen? There are so many that don't see the plan of God clear enough to realize that when you come in the body of Christ and you're committed to a local church, it's not a club. It's not something you carry out to be saved. It's not conditional on your salvation. I have Christian parents who say to me all the time about their grown children, oh, they love God, they go to church. Jesus never said going to church was a condition of our love to him. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll go to church. How many of you know that's outward? But God has placed each member in the body. 1 Corinthians 12. Matter of fact, let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians, last scripture, verse 18. But now God, who? God, everybody have God in their version? There? And it doesn't say, but now I myself. It says God did what? Has set the members, each one of them. Put your hand right there and say, I'm an each one of them. I'm a each one of them. Sometimes we miss that. We each one of them. In the body just as he pleased. You want to know the first step to being fruitful and multiply in the wisdom of God? Be in the body where he placed you, as he pleased. What does that mean? It's never too far where God has you to be. Those disciples, they climbed that mountain with Jesus to hear the Sermon on the Mount. The multitudes turned around and went back because it was too far. People that you know, Christians, and they're not prospering, and they're having difficulty, and they have situations in their life. And one of the reasons why there's a difficulty is because number one priority is, in God's mind and heart, for the believer, is his body. And the church is the body of Christ. And we're members one to another. And we're fitly joined together. Now, for the purposes of management, because he's very, very practical, God is in many ways, he's created local churches. Why? Because we can't be jetting off to California every week. Now, yes, you can get some word watching TV and ministries, and praise God for all of it, where the gospel's being preached, all of it. But that's not being fitly joined. Now, Brother Jesse said something. He said, Courtney may need to talk to you. Well, why could he even think that and talk that? because I'm standing right here. But he's not going to be able to call a pastor on TV, say, Courtney may need to talk to you. Say, just the practicality of it. Amen? This is God's way, his plan of meeting the needs of his people. Amen? There isn't any reason why any of us should end up where Peter did with the net breaking and not be able to call the partners. We're in it together. And have the reinforcements come in and say, all right, let's get this. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you don't understand. I don't like you. I got news for you. Liking or not liking, I haven't got a thing to do with it. I'm going to make a statement. Don't misunderstand. God loves everyone. I'm not sure he likes everyone. So I had a brother in the Lord who has a pretty good sized ministry tell me one time the Lord spoke to him and said, I don't like you very much. Why, Lord? Why don't you like me? And he told them. So he corrected it. He said, I want you to like me, Lord. Amen. One thing is needful. Hear him. Hear him. Each and every person, they need to hear from the Lord. They need to have the Spirit of God bear witness to their spirit. This is where I put you. And whether it be Word of Life Family Fellowship or any other place, local church, and there's some good ones in the area, he wants every one of his children to have a home. Want you to have a home. Father said, and Jesus said to Father and I, we're coming to make a home for you. And there's a lot of orphans out there. What is that home? Local church. Once he puts you in a home church, even and if he sends you out, it's still always your home. My boys, the two oldest, 35 and 33, since they've been out on their own for the last 15 years or so, they've never come to our home, which is home, and ever knocked. They just come busting in. And they've never come in begging for help. Dad, I need you to help me. And I can't tell you the number of times and situations where they had a problem and the rest of the family rallied to help. You have a family in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, that you can go to and know you're not going to get the door slammed in your face. And the people out there looking, Christians, saved for many years and so forth, they're out there. They're out there. Lord spoke to me and he said, I know who are mine and they're out there and I want them back. And there's no devil in hell that's going to be able to keep anybody away who wants back. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. But Father, I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we just acknowledge to you that you are the head of the church, and we are your body, and you supply. You supply to each one of us. We supply to each other that which you supply to us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I thank you for your plan and your purpose for Word of Life Family Fellowship coming to pass. And Lord, we refuse to allow anybody that wants to return not to return. I thank you, Lord, for healing brokenhearted. I thank you, Lord, for setting the captives free. I thank you, Lord, for recovery of sight to the blind. Open our eyes to see your plan for each and every one of our lives, individually and together. Open your eyes. Open our eyes to see, Father, what you're doing in each one of our lives. Thank you for the grace that you've given us to want to go with it. Wanting to go with your plan. But most of all, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the grace to see one another after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In the name of Jesus, amen.